Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is covenant belonging in the context of Mormonism? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This week, we are looking at some of the conference messages that were given in October of 2019. And today, we're going to be looking at a message that was given by Mormon Apostle Garrett W. Gong. This was given in the Sunday morning session. And in another program, Eric, you made the point that every session seemed to have a message on the importance of covenants and covenant keeping. And of course, this pattern is followed here. This is Sunday morning. Garrett Gong is going to talk about covenant belonging, and the subtitle is To Belong with God and to Walk with Each Other on His Covenant Path is to Be Blessed by Covenant Belonging. Let me just introduce this with a statement that he makes almost right at the very beginning of his talk, where he mentions how Heavenly Father, this would be the God of Mormonism, the God of the body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, does hear every child's prayer, he says. With infinite love, he beckons us to come, believe, and belong by covenant. I was discussing with you off air, Eric, that when we are talking with Latter-day Saints, it's often important to have them tell us what certain words mean to them. In this case, I think if a Latter-day Saint was to cite this to me, or if I had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Gong and he was to use this expression, he beckons us to come, believe, and belong by covenant, I would say, believe what? What am I supposed to believe? As a New Testament Christian, certainly I would argue that what we are to believe is that Jesus, by his perfect life, living the entire law without flaw, was made the perfect sacrifice on the cross at Calvary. And according to the writings of the Apostle Paul, by putting my trust in what he did on that cross, Jesus' righteousness becomes my righteousness. Now, that justification that I receive doesn't make me holy, but it does declare me righteous. My holiness or my sanctification comes later on. I must first be justified in order to be sanctified. So when you ask a Latter-day Saint, when you say, come believe and belong by covenant, what does belief mean? It certainly does not mean that you are to believe as a Latter-day Saint that Jesus paid it all for you, because he didn't. He pays for everything you need only after you do everything you're supposed to do, and that's where this covenant belonging comes into play. You must make covenants, and you must keep covenants as a Latter-day Saint if you hope to get the benefits of the atonement.
To be able to get a temple recommend, you have to keep certain rules in the church, including not drinking hot drinks and other issues like that. And unless you do that, you can't get the temple recommend. But our friend Keith Walker came up with a t-shirt idea that he had at the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti that used to play every June. This t-shirt was a picture of a temple recommend, and it said that Jesus was his temple recommend. And that is the way it is for the Christian. In Mormonism, you have to earn the recommend by what you do. But for us, as you talk about the imputation or the credit for righteousness that we do not deserve, we don't deserve the recommend, but Jesus is the recommend for us. That's a much different way of looking at it.
And I think it would be appropriate again, Eric, to mention in this series that we are not downplaying the efforts of Latter-day Saints to be good people, to live as righteously as they can possibly live. The objection that we have is that if living righteously is the requirement in order to get this celestial exaltation that Latter-day Saints seek, our argument is if you're going to be saved by that rule, then obviously you need to keep every single commandment that the church has laid down for the member. Or, in this context, keeping every covenant that you make. You are supposed to not only make them, but you are to keep them. If you don't keep them, then God is not obligated to do his part. He goes on to say, when we come to God's great commandments to love him and those around us by covenant, we do so not as stranger or guest, but as his child at home. What does he say after that?
Covenant belonging is to make and keep solemn promises to God and each other through sacred ordinances that invite the power of godliness to be manifest in our lives. When we covenant all we are, we can become more than we are. Covenant belonging gives us place, narrative, capacity to become. It produces faith unto life and salvation.
I would think it would be noble that you would want to become more than you are, but the question is, what are you right now? What are you? Are you truly redeemed? Do you have all your sins forgiven? Are you still hoping for that to take place later on in your life as you get better and better at being faithful to these covenants that you keep making?
He goes on and says, divine covenants become a source of love for and from God, and thereby for and with each other. God, our Heavenly Father, loves us more and knows us better than we love or know ourselves. Faith in Jesus Christ and personal change, in parentheses repentance, bring mercy, grace, forgiveness.
This is another opportunity to where we can ask our Latter-day Saint acquaintance what they mean by certain words. When Gong says, faith in Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Faith that he paid your total debt for sin based on what he did in that sacrifice on the cross, the benefits of which are given to you by your faith in what he did? Or is that it's out there waiting for you to keep your covenants in order to get the blessings of that atonement?
But don't Latter-day Saints like to call Jesus their Savior?
They do, but they can only claim him to be their Savior if they know that he already is their Savior, not their potential Savior. But when a Mormon uses the word Savior, I like to ask, what did he save you from? They usually don't know, or they give me a long list of things that they think are pertinent, which are really not pertinent at all in this conversation. But when it says faith in Jesus Christ and personal change, parentheses, repentance. So here we have a clear example that repentance does involve personal change. In other words, things you used to do, you no longer do. Things that you never did that you should be doing, now you are doing them. Eric, wouldn't that come under the definition of works according to the New Testament? Most certainly it would come under that definition.
But as we talked about yesterday, D&C 58, 42, and 43, and D&C 93:1 are very much in line with what this general authority is saying.
Well, let's go back to what he says here. Faith in Jesus Christ and personal change, repentance, bring mercy, grace, forgiveness. Do you notice, folks, there are conditions even in obtaining mercy from the God of Mormonism. But yet mercy has to be an undeserved act. Otherwise, the word has no meaning at all. But this is consistent with what Ezra Taft Benson said, the 13th president of the church, when he said, we go to our chapels each week to worship the Lord and renew our covenants by partaking of the sacrament. That would be the communion service in the context of Mormonism. Benson goes on to say, we thereby promise to take his name upon us, to always remember him, and keep all his commandments. Our agreement to keep all the commandments is our covenant with God. Only as we do this may we deserve his blessings and merit his mercy. So you see, even mercy in the context of Mormonism is something that you must earn. In other words, it's given as the individual Latter-day Saint deserves it. And how do they deserve it? Through their personal change and keeping the covenant. That's all the package. It's all a part of it.
Certainly the Bible disagrees again, because Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says that this does not come by works. Rather, it's by grace through faith. That's the only way the Bible says that you can truly understand the gift that is offered by God through Jesus, to be able to receive that for yourself and not base it on anything that you have done, what you are doing, or what you will do. If you base any of it on works, you miss the point of the gospel, which means good news.
He goes on to say God's ordinances and covenants are universal in their requirement and individual in their opportunity. But then he goes on to describe what this covenant belonging and how it centers in Jesus Christ. What does he say about that, Eric?
To belong with God and to walk with each other on his covenant path is to be blessed by covenant belonging. First, covenant belonging centers in Jesus Christ as, quote, mediator of the new covenant, end quote. All things can work together for our good when we are, quote, sanctified in Christ in the covenant of the Father, end quote. Every good and promised blessing comes to those who remain faithful to the end.
Now, let's go back, because he has a quotation there, sanctified in Christ in the covenant of the Father. There's a footnote there pointing the reader to Moroni 10:33. Now, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know we often cite Moroni 10:32. You can only understand verse 33 in the context of verse 32. Very quickly, let me read it for you. Yea, come unto Christ, be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. Then it goes on to verse 33. What does it say in verse 33, Eric?
And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot.
You do your part. God follows through in doing his part. It's all about works, folks. It is not believing that Jesus paid it all.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormon Church, is a huge topic of interest among many Bible-believing Christians who want to reach their LDS friends and loved ones with the biblical message of hope and grace. If you're a Christian who wants to be better informed about the beliefs of the Mormon people, Mormonism Research Ministry wants to be a resource for you. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to clearly articulate Mormon doctrine and history in order to better understand the issues that separate Mormonism from the Christian faith. At MRM.org, you'll find links to hundreds of articles as well as dozens of videos that will effectively educate you on this fascinating topic. Should your church need a live presentation, simply contact MRM and schedule one of our several PowerPoint presentations that have helped thousands of Christians better understand the beliefs of their LDS neighbors. To schedule MRM at your church, write us at MRM.org or call 801-572-2153. Let MRM help you become a confident ambassador for Christ.